Chapter 3, Translating the Word, adapted from a Buddhist parable. It has been said that many years ago, there lived a young and gifted woman called Sophia, who received a vision in which God spoke to her as a dear friend. In this conversation, God asked that Sophia dedicate her life to the task of translating and distributing the Word of God throughout her country. Now, at the time, the printing press had only recently been invented, and the only Bibles to be found were written in Latin and kept under lock and key within churches. Sophia was from a poor farming village on the outskirts of the city, so the task seemed impossible. She would have to raise a vast sum of money to purchase the necessary printing equipment, rent a building to house it, and hire scholars with the ability to translate the Latin verses into the country's common tongue. However, the impossibility of the task did not sway her in the least. After having received her vision, Sophia sold the few items she possessed and left the village to live on the streets of the city, begging for the money that was required and dedicating herself to any work that was available in order to help with the funds. Raising the money proved to be a long and difficult task, for while there were a few who gave generously, most gave little, if anything at all. In addition to this, living on the streets involved great personal suffering. But gradually, over the next 15 years, the money began to accumulate. However, shortly before the plans for the printing press could be set in motion, a dreadful flood devastated a nearby town, destroying many people's homes and livelihood. When the news reached Sophia, she gathered up what she had raised and spent it on food for the hungry, material to help rebuild lost homes, and basic provisions for the dispossessed. Eventually, the town began to recover from the natural disaster that had befallen it, and so Sophia left and returned to the city in order to start over again, all the while remembering the vision that God had planted deep in her heart. Many more years passed slowly, extracting their heavy toll on the beautiful Sophia. But there were now many who had been touched by her love and dedication. So although people were poor, the money began to accumulate once again. However, after 9 more years, disaster struck again. This time, a plague descended upon the city, stealing the lives of thousands and leaving many children without family or support. By now, Sophia was tired and very ill. Yet, without hesitation, she used the money that had been collected to buy medicines for the sick, homes for the orphaned, and land where the dead could be buried safely. Never once did she forget the vision that God had imparted to her, but the severity of the plague required that she set this sacred call to one side in order to help with the emergency. Only when the shadow of the plague had lifted did she once again take to the streets, driven by her desire to translate the Word of God and distribute it among the people. Finally, shortly before her death, Sophia was able to gather together the money required for the printing press, the building, and the translators. Although she was by this time close to death, Sophia lived long enough to see the first Bibles printed and distributed. It is said to this day that Sophia had actually accomplished her task of translating and distributing the Word of God 3 times during her life, rather than simply once. The first 2 being the most beautiful and radiant than the last. Commentary. Here we are invited to reflect upon the true meaning of the phrase Word of God. While this term is often used to describe a set of scriptures, the previous tale asks the reader whether words in a book, no matter how beautifully constructed, could ever be worthy of such a title. Of course, for many, the Bible is worthy of this hallowed title. The words, or at least the message contained by the words, has a status far beyond that of even the greatest literary achievements. But we must ask whether holding the words of the Bible in such high regard is really the best way to show our love and respect to this ancient text. For is it not the Bible itself that informs us how God's word never returns empty? In other words, God's holy word can never fall on deaf ears, but will always evoke transformation in those who truly hear it. If this is the case, then God's word cannot be heard without being heeded. It cannot be received without being incarnated. Indeed, it is only in being incarnated that one can say that it has been received. For instance, the words love your neighbour should not be thought of as sacred or divine. These words are no more than words. They take on a revelatory role only when they are lived. That is, when someone actually gets their hands dirty and loves their neighbour. In other words, when this phrase is incarnated in action. The idea of loving one's neighbour is the word of God, not when it is merely affirmed, but when it is lived. Therefore, it is impossible to affirm God's word apart from becoming that word, apart from being the place where that word becomes a living, breathing act. This divine word cannot then be rendered into an object that is somehow separate from the subject who hears it or reads it. For the word of God is an incarnated word that is lived. Its call is heard only by those who inhale the aroma of the words and who exhale life, liberation, and love. By attempting to describe this word, we will always end up describing something less than it. For, like love, the word is discovered not in speech, but in act. The word is formed only when it is performed. It exists in the world only when it is lived out by a subject who dwells fully in the world. Is this not the logic of incarnation?